In the shadows of the Tesh, Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Very good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. I'm Teddy Sliman, along with Ralph Boxcar Bergeron. We're our long golf talk show. Join in if you like. 367-1240 is our number if you want to jump on board and participate in our little talk show here. So just made it in on time, Boxcar.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, what we got going on today?
Well, back from a Memorial Day vacation, which was, I guess, kind of nice because managed to welcome into the world a new addition to my family and my first grandchild being born. So I wanted to kind of brag on that. Elijah James Bergeron came into the world on May 27th, and proud parents Cody and Catherine. So I spent a week up in Texarkana with my new grandson and enjoyed the heck out of it.
Well, I guess you did. Congratulations.
I can see why you you have such great times when you you do your outings in Thibodeau and all that stuff,
man. Absolutely. Just make sure I give him his first golf lesson so he starts out on the right foot.
Okay, yes, okay. We'll make sure he has a I think he's going to be a lefty, believe it or not. I mean, early results being in, judging on his dominant hand, looks like he might be a lefty.
No good, because they make the best golfers. All right, let's thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola, Tabasco, McElhenney, Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, Sugar Oaks, Chaffalier, and golfballs.com, and a surprise coming from them today, right?
Yeah, we'll call Andy at about 5:30 and get a report on what's been going on there. I feel a little guilty, haven't had a chance to make it out there in a couple of weeks due to these family obligations, but he'll update us on what they have as far as new product goes, and we'll also talk a little bit about endorsements with him, and so should be interesting.
Very good, and we look forward to that. Then down at Spanish Trail, we have our national, our Community First Bank Pro-Am this Thursday, hopefully with the weather. I think it's supposed to straighten out by Thursday.
Yeah, I think
they're telling me Wednesday.
That's what my friend at work told me. By Wednesday, it looks like sunshine. So
looking forward to that.
It drains well, so it should be fine.
They have two new employees there too, Sasha Reed and Laura Davis. D'Artes, or rather, working behind the Boring Grill there. So congratulations to those ladies, and I'm sure they'll do as good a job as the previous lady. She was really nice and cordial. And then they have their member tournament coming up. They advertised it way in advance. It's going to be held July 8th and 9th at Spanish Trail. And, of course, they always get a good turnout for their events when they have, you know, member-oriented events. They like to participate. And then thanks to Boyd Booty for just bringing me in under the gun, the results of the Gator Golf Club. As we turn our attention now to Sugar Oaks Golf Course, of course, the Gator Golf Club stems out of it. First flight went to Tom Grimsley. By the way, they played at National Golf Club in Westlake, and I'm surprised they got it in Saturday because I know they got a lot of rain in that area as well. But anyway, first flight went to Tom Grimsley, plus 11. Second flight, Mike Giovinazzo was plus 8. Third flight went to Tony Viator, plus 13, and fourth flight was a tie. Boyd Booty and Glenn Guidry both were plus 7. And then congratulations to Tom Grimsley. Boyd wanted to make sure I gave him a shout-out. He shot a 68, which is
an
awfully good score. And also in the fourth flight, Ricky Artigo shot a 72. So some good scores there coming out of the Gator Golf Club. Their next event's going to be June 25th at Cassati Pines. It's 8:30 shotgun start. And then also at Sugar Oaks, their most recent Twilight Scramble was won by the team of Mark Ami and Olin Granger. They edged out Brooks Ami and Ron Finley for a $25 first place award there, so in the pro shop. And then their shootout, most recent shootout at Sugar Oaks, went to Ron Gary and Jimmy Rogers, and they won $20 each. And their next event is going to be on the 17th of June. That's the day before Father's Day, I believe. And of course, Like Mr. Les Champagne told me, you can play either day, Saturday or Sunday, or both days if you want to put up two entry fees. Then down at Atchafalaya, they're having their 11th annual summer junior golf program for all juniors. A bunch of things are going to be taught, not only skill, but how to enjoy the game, adequate course strategy. Ooh. And it's for ages 5 through 9 on Tuesday through Friday, and ages 10 from 10:30 to noon on those same days. It's $50 per junior, and there's three sessions, June 6th through 9th, June 13th through 16th, and June 20th through 23rd. And it's only $50 for those 3 weeks. So call 395-GOLF. 4653 if you want to put your kid in there. You don't need to be a member, anything like that.
Area code 985, right?
Right. 985-395-GOLF. And they're airfying their greens, hopefully starting tomorrow. That's what they're scheduled to do, rain permitting, of course. And then the we've been advertising this for quite some time, but next week is the Optimus Junior World Golf Championship qualifying at the Wetlands for boys and girls. Hopefully, we'll get the results of that and see who advances to the national tournament. And also, congratulations to little Hayden Ami, son of Brooks Ami. He was in first place, shot a 34, his first round under par. He had four birdies and two bogeys at Abbeville and won the U.S. Kids age 7 age group. And his next event was scheduled for Oak Wing on the 4th, but I didn't get any results, so probably it got rained out. Because Brooks is pretty, you know, loyal by calling in for that. Then the Louisiana Golf Association's having their amateur championship at Country Club of Louisiana this week. Hopefully the weather will break for them as well, June 8th through 11th. And New Iberia's Micah Gula will participate in that. He had a 75, he told us, Sunday at Squirrel Run. They had a 75 average for McKellen Junior College. And hopefully he has one more year there and then come on and help the Cajuns out for a well-needed position. And then the LSU men's golf team, as we all know, fell two shots short of qualifying for the match play in the NCAA championship. And then to add insult to injury, their All-American golfer, Sam Burns, announced shortly after that he's going to turn golf professional after the Walker Cup, which is in September. But I heard on the news today that, well, first off, the Jack Nicklaus tournament was played, the Memorial, and Sam Burns was there because he won. Named Player of the Year, he won the Jack Nicklaus National Player of the Year Award and was presented that by Jack himself at some point in the tournament. Burns, a Ping first-team All-American, was selected over five finalists from Oregon, Wyndham Clark, Vanderbilt's Patrick Martin, Stanford's Maverick McNeely, Wake Forest's Will Zalato. And Burns is the first LSU player to be honored as National Player of the Year, which is a pretty big honor. He also was the first player or the lowest scoring average from LSU in the history of LSU with a 70.05, and that included four wins in 14 events and always finished in the top 10 in all of those events. So congratulations to him. He also at the Memorial Tournament earned an exemption to the PGA's Barbasol Championship next month by firing competitive course record 5 under par 65 at Scioto Country Club. That's where Jack Nicklaus grew up. He did that on Saturday. And Burns played against four other Jack Nicklaus National Player of the Years across the country finalists. And the right to play the Barbasol Championship on July 20th through 23rd at the Grand National in Opelika, Alabama. And he finished three shots ahead of Dalton State's Sam Lee. So I'm wondering, that's a professional event, whether he'll play as an amateur, which he stated he would.
Right.
Or whether he'll turn pro a little early and forego the Walker Cup.
No, I don't think he will. I mean, he said he'll turn pro in September. Because he wants to represent the U.S. in the Palmer Cup next week and the Walker Cup in September. So I think
he also said that before he got that.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, I mean, the Barbasol Championship, the chances of, you know, I'm not saying he can't make the cut. I'm not saying he can't make $20,000, yeah. but would you trade that in for a chance to play in the Walker Cup? You
I
know?
Wouldn't.
No. So I don't think he will either. I mean, you know, look, LSU's produced some great golfers over the years, but you got to look at reality, too. And when you get on the PGA Tour, it's just a different game. You know, I mean, you know, Andrew Loeb, John Peterson, I mean, Smiley Kaufman has had success. You know, but, I mean, those guys, you know, there's nothing given. I mean, they're, you know, Kaufman had, you know, had a victory, but he's struggled recently. I mean, honestly, you go back to, you know, David Toms has been the crown jewel of LSU golf on the PGA Tour. But it's a learning process, and I wouldn't trade in the chance to you know, for one, what I would call, you know, be different, I guess, at the Masters or something like that. But, I mean, this is a relatively minor event. Yeah,
sure.
It's probably.
No, I was just being facetious. I certainly don't think he'll have any inclination to turn pro just because he qualified. But he will still get to play as an amateur.
Sure, you know? Sure. And, I mean, and again, it's a good chance for him to measure, you know, his game against the pros.
Yeah,
you know?
They'll probably get him some sponsors. It'll open the eyes to a lot of, yeah. You know, the companies, golf club companies and stuff that looking at future reps, you know.
But certainly, I mean, you look at his future and you know, coming out of LSU, I mean, it's been a, I don't know, I mean, you just can't really compare his potential, I think. You know, again, Tom's did it, you know, already. But certainly, I think the expectations for him, for Sam Burns, is probably even higher, you know,
oh,
coming
absolutely.
Out because, you know,
he's
like
the most
said,
decorated LSU player
exactly,
that's
right.
ever been. So,
right. So,
you
I
know,
mean,
winning the national award to Jack Nicklaus, that's the first time for
right.
LSU and the lowest scoring average ever in the history of LSU. I mean,
right. And I mean, well. And he pretty much waxed. I mean, he, you know, this Barbasol shootout was basically the national players of the year in each division in college golf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he competed against the best of the best. And,
right.
And, you know, the thing about golf, it doesn't really matter what division you're playing in. If you're a stud, you're a stud. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can come out of, you know, like Dustin Johnson was Coastal Carolina. That was not a big program, you know. But he, you know, won by three shots. You know, like you said, fired a course record. I mean, just, you know, crazy, crazy good, you know.
Yep.
So.
All right. Anything else on the local scene? We'll wrap it up real quick so that we can get to our guest.
Yeah, really. Don't, you know, I mean, other than the fact that, man, my sympathies go out to the local golf course owners who are struggling through this wet period of time. Let's mm-hmm. just hope that the good Lord has some dry days. Of course, I think it was today, or is it later during the week, the dreaded semi-dawet, if it rains, where it rains for 40 days.
I think that happened or something. I don't know.
I think it did.
Or maybe it's June 8th. I don't know.
But I did hear some people talking about it at the clubhouse at Squirrel Run Sunday. And I'm telling you, it's weird how it's still been spotty, but there are just some areas that have just been, you know, really inundated. And
right.
I think Lafayette even had more rain than New Iberia, believe it or not. But we did get an hour on Sunday, and Squirrel Run actually was pretty dry.
Well, I thought so.
You know, mm-hmm. but I don't know how much they got today. So we'll see. Hopefully, my biggest concern is for you know, Mr. Gary and them at Thursday at for the Pro-Am. You know,
right.
I mean, hopefully that can happen and we can have a good turnout.
Absolutely. Well, we have 2 weeks to catch up on the national scene, so stay tuned and we'll be back with some national news in a bit.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way?
He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The golf season has arrived, and if you're looking to shave strokes off your game, you've got to visit the GolfBalls.com retail center. New 2017 inventory is arriving daily. Check out the newest clubs from Ping, TaylorMade, and Callaway, the latest balls from Titleist, Bridgestone, and Srixon, or the hottest apparel from Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard, next to Harbor Freight Tools. GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
Sweet as Louisiana Pure Cane Sugar. We're Cane Radio, AM 1240.
All right, welcome back to Chip Shot. Steady Slime and Ralph Boxcar Bergeron with you here. And we'll catch up real quick on last week as we were off for Memorial Day. They had the Colonial Invitational Golf Tournament in Fort Worth, Texas. Kevin Kisner was the winner of that, edging out Sean O'Hare. A couple of shots, and congratulations to that dude. He won $1.2 million. And then on the, well, just a little miscellaneous from that tournament, John Rahm was one of the runner-ups at Colonial, and he became the fifth player to reach the top 10 before age 23, and I bet you Boxcar can name him. Name the other four. He became the fifth player to reach the top 10 before. So that excludes Jack Nicklaus and all those old guys because they didn't have world rankings then.
Okay, so Tiger Woods. Jordan Spieth. Before the age of what?
23.
Ooh.
He was a star at 19 in the U.S. Open. Tiger edged
him
Sergio.
Out.
Sergio
has three.
This guy's got four majors.
Four.
And a rib injury.
Oh, man.
He's coming off a rib injury anyway.
Oh, Dustin Johnson?
Rory McIlroy.
Oh, Rory.
Yeah.
Who's the fifth?
Well, it's John Rahm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind.
He became the fifth, okay?
God. It's hard.
What? Go ahead.
No, I mean, just, you know, when you see these guys, when they come on tour so early, it's hard to think of them as having accomplished all that before that early
age.
Age, you know? I mean, you should be graduating college at, you know,
yeah,
and,
right.
You know, maybe 1 year on tour. You know?
Something like that, huh?
Gosh.
And then on the senior tour, we need to go over this because Bernhard Langer played a near flawless round of golf and took advantage of Vijay Singh's late mistake by winning the senior PGA Championship at Trump National for his record ninth senior major. Of course, Jack Nicklaus has eight, but a little dispute there because Gary Player claims that he's got nine. And, of course, Gary Player is 82 years old. He won the senior PGA Championship in 86, 88, and 90. He won the senior U.S. Open in 87 and 88 and won the seniors players in 1987. But when he won the senior British Open back then in 88, 90, and 97, it wasn't proclaimed as a major. Can you imagine that? The senior was
British.
Not
a wow.
Senior British Open. And I think he has a case there, but so
we'll give it to him because it's going to be, I mean, irrelevant anyway. Because Bernhard Langer, I'm convinced now, is a robot. He's not human at that age to
right.
be playing that kind of golf. I mean,
back to Gary Player, he's got a pretty good record. He's the only person, and this includes Jack, to win the Grand Slam, both the PGA Tour and the Senior Tour. So that's pretty impressive.
Plus, he can still kick a door.
83 years old, does like 100 sit-ups a day and push-ups and all that stuff.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he is. All right, so now we're up to this week anyway. Jason Duffner wins the Memorial, and it was kind of touch and go for him for a while there. He set a 36-hole record with a pair of 65s, 14 under par, and then kind of faltered big time on Saturday, losing a five-shot lead. He all of a sudden, after a 77, was four down. So, but he came back with a nice 68 yesterday and won by three. He finished at 13 under 275 for his fifth PGA victory and joined tournament host Jack Nicklaus as the only Ohio-born winners of the Memorial. And it was not since Nick Faldo in 1989 has anyone shot 77 in the third round and gone on to win a PGA Tour event. The highest score, by the way, in winning an event was Kenny Knox. He shot an 80 in the 1986 Honda.
Yeah, it was a weird tournament for Jason Duffner and a lot of guys, and I guess this is where his personality, and they're really all right. You can't tell if he just double bogeyed a hole or just made eagle, mm-hmm. because his expression never changes, and he has a new breathing technique that he's using to remain calm as well. But most guys, after having a huge lead like he had and then shooting 77 and all of a sudden being several shots back, would not rebound on Sunday. Most of them would carry that bad round over to Sunday, and it's a lesson to be learned for all of us amateur golfers. We go out there one week and we think we're on top of the world, and we have a bad round, and then all of a sudden you start tinkering and experimenting and trying different things, and sometimes you have to just trust the process and just stick with it, and he didn't credit any different thing. He went out after the round Saturday and hit range balls immediately, he said, to get the anger out of him,
right.
And have a positive, mm-hmm. Approach on Sunday. And definitely, he did that. He earned 1,566,000, which is the largest purse of his career. And also became the only other person from Ohio to win the Memorial, because Jack Nicklaus was the other one, obviously, and won twice.
And surprisingly, missing the cut was the two hottest players on the planet, DJ, Dustin Johnson, and John Rahm, both missed the cut. And another surprise is Jason Day, who lives there and actually is a member of Muirfield Village, and you would think has course advantage. He was tied for 15th, and I think he's played there several times, like maybe 15 or 20 times, and never finished in the top 10. So That's pretty surprising for those, level of players. But the tournament was won in the previous by first-time winners. The last three was William McGirt, David Lingmerth, and Hideki Matsuyama, making them the first-time winners at the Memorial, which is pretty impressive to win that tournament as your first victory. So, and then we mentioned Jack Nicklaus. It's the only course. This is a pretty interesting fact here. It's the only golf course, Muirfield Village, to host the Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup, and President's Cup. And they did that in 87, 98, and 2013. So it's a tough track. And it showed its teeth.
It definitely could host a major for sure. A U.S. Open or a PGA or whatever.
Okay, but, here's my question for you. Who's the only player ever to win back-to-back memorials?
Jack Nicklaus.
No.
Nick Faldo.
No.
Okay.
He just got embarrassed this past weekend. Tiger Woods. He's got every record that ever lived.
Yeah.
And it's just a pity.
That's what they did say. Most Memorial Day weekends, he'd be I did read that article, winning the tournament, but instead.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk more about Tiger coming up. Obviously, his missteps and misfortunes have been well documented this past week, but we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Why don't we take a break, and then we'll give a call to
we'll
our
give,
buddy.
Give Andy a call, and then we'll come back and talk some more national golf news. And we also invite you to call in if you want to chime in on any of our topics here on Chip Shots at 367-1240.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
The golf season has arrived, and if you're looking to shave strokes off your game, you've got to visit the GolfBalls.com retail center. New 2017 inventory is arriving daily. Check out the newest clubs from Ping, TaylorMade, and Callaway, the latest balls from Titleist, Bridgestone, and Srixon, or the hottest apparel from Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard, next to Harbor Freight Tools. GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
Louisiana's own, Louisiana's gold. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
All right, welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman, Ralph Boxcar Bajoran, a special guest on the phone. Mr. Andy Malosso with GolfBalls.com. Good afternoon, guy.
Gentlemen, how are you all today?
First class.
Doing good, Andy. How are you?
Good to hear your voice again, Ralph.
Oh, I'm glad to be back back in the fold. You know, it funny because I thought being a grandfather would make you feel older, but I feel younger for some reason. I have to teach that little guy how to trade
that's
in.
That's great.
I have to teach my little man how to trade in golf clubs. You know.
Yeah, your outlook in life has gotten better. Don't let them learn the bad habit too quickly, please.
Well, my supposedly best friend over here sent me a text, asking him to please not let me teach him the golf swing. You know, so his first golf lesson has to come from Teddy. That's an official proclamation. So I'll do that for him. You know, but anyway, just kind of wondering. You know, haven't talked in a while, so just kind of wondering what's been going on at the shop and maybe what new product might be. Either coming out or has come out in the last month or so.
So there hadn't been any buzz around hard goods, you know, whether it be metal, wood, or iron, or anything like that since, you know, probably middle of February, late February. A few apparel lines have come out. Under Armour's launched a new product. Their bags just finally came in. But there are some club launches in the pipeline that you'll be seeing over the next probably 90 days. The most notable probably is Callaway's Epic line is expanding. They're coming out with a new iron, actually two new iron sets as well as a hybrid. Going to be geared around custom fitting quite a bit. And they're going after that premium player, you know, competing with your PXG, and your Mura, your uber premium price point, you know, $249 for a single iron, in steel shaft. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart. But if you're looking for that premium custom fit iron set, Callaway is now in the mix. So it should be interesting. We got to test it for the first time last week, and the numbers were really, really impressive in terms of distance performance. So we'll see how it translates to the marketplace. And then Ping's got a new line of product that you're going to be hearing about. I can't really talk about it right now, but you'll be hearing about it over the next 90 days.
Now I kind of caught a glimpse of something, and I didn't really click on to read the article, but something about a new Memorial line from TaylorMade.
You know what? I'm not familiar with it. I haven't heard of it.
Okay, it was kind of like a Patriot themed line of I don't know.
They have their U.S. Open line, which is a USA that came out in the last probably 2 weeks. Bags and head covers and the like, but it's all geared around the U.S. Open.
Okay, so maybe that's what it was.
It could be the lines of it, but as far as I know, TaylorMade has no new product.
Nothing club
wise. Especially because of the sale of the brand, they've had no new product.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, which is unusual for them because it used to be every couple of weeks there was a new club coming out. Have you noticed a trend in manufacturers maybe slowing down that process a little bit, you know, that release?
You mentioned that, and it's actually been a big push by the manufacturers probably over the last 3 to 4 years to extend the product cycle. Well, one of the reasons being was the depreciation of the product over time. It got to a point where every 12 months where there was a new line of product, the depreciation of inline just went way down. And as the manufacturer are trying to you know, get their premium price point and selections back up after they had lost it for a little while. They were launching new product, end over end, and it hurt the consumer because the product they bought 6 months ago is no longer worth what it was, on the back end, whether it be trade or to resell, just to upgrade to the new product.
Right.
So Ping and Titleist and Mizuno have been the forefront for extending product launches, and they've never actually deviated from their norm. You know, it's mainly your Callaway and your TaylorMade, your Cobra, at the time Adams, who was pumping out product left and right, just flooding the market, and it really depreciated the product value after retail, you know. So I think the brands have finally come around, and you're going to start seeing 18 to 24 month product cycles from everybody for a good while.
Well, that's consumer wise, I think it's good news because it always added an element of excitement. I mean, when something's coming out, you know, every 3 or 4 months, you just bought something. Now the you know, the new one's out, and then it gets overwhelming after a while. But if you're a loyal brand player, a Ping player or a Titleist player or whatever, you know, every couple of years when that new club was coming out, then you really wanted to try it out, you know, and you were waiting for that launch, and then they kind of all deviated away from that. Even, you know, I mean, like you said, to me, Ping was always the model of consistency. I mean, you know, it was always, you know, the G2, then the G5, then the G10. You know, it was every couple of years. Then they even kind of started going all over the map with different model releases. But hopefully that'll get back to a regular cycle, and golfers can kind of return to some stability without all the confusion and without, as you said, I mean, especially when you start talking about price points now, in the, you know, for a set of steel shafted irons in the $1,000 and up range, I mean, you don't want to buy that set of clubs and then 3 months later try to trade it in and you get $300, you know. So.
Yeah, it's that was really one of the main concerns from the consumer, you know, about those short product cycles, really the return on their investment. I mean, you as much as anybody, yeah, you know, like to turn over and with with golfers that, you know, that new iron set is going to help them, you know, shave that stroke or shave two strokes off or gain 10 yards. I mean, it's, you know, the mind can make you do those things, especially in golf. And it just, it really hurt hurt the industry whenever those trade-in values started taking such a big hit, like almost overnight. So, you're going to start seeing, you know, Callaway just announced that Apex, their 2016 Apex line was going to run through for at least another 18 months. So that's going to be a 3-year product cycle once that product is off the marketplace. So,
wow.
You know, that, you know, you're seeing some really good things with technology as good as the club and the product is. You know, I guess it's getting harder and harder to make it better.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're forced to keep the product on the market for longer.
Well, I hate to bring up the elephant in the room, so to speak, but we're talking about, you know, manufacturers and obviously, unfortunately, on Memorial Day, we all got to witness, you know, what I think is a very, very sad sight, and that's another chapter in Tiger's, I don't want to call it demise, because you never know how the final chapter will end, but certainly downfall. With the DUI, obviously Tiger had lost some endorsements earlier when he had the marital, indiscretions, but he also had recently picked up some endorsements with the Bridgestone contract and TaylorMade. From a retailer's point of view, what kind of effect do you think this recent arrest might have on his endorsements?
Yeah, that's a good question. And to be perfectly honest, he, as much as he moved the industry's needle, he didn't help sell Nike product. He just helped inspire new golfers and golfers to, you know, whether it be watch the sport or, you know, if you're only playing two or three times a year, to start playing 10 times a year. You know, he was the most attractive thing to golf in you know, my lifetime. You know, he didn't help Nike by any means. Obviously, Nike, if he did, would still be making they'd be still making golf clubs.
Right.
So I really don't think that his staff presence, whether it be TaylorMade or Bridgestone, is going to help or hurt them move product. I mean, we recently removed Tiger from our national advertising with Bridgestone. We had him on, and it was just within the brand's best interest to take him off, after especially the most recent, just to avoid any unwanted communication regarding the matter. So,
yeah,
you know, I really don't see it impacting any of these companies in terms of their sell-through. You know, that you might not see Tiger on the main page of their marketing efforts for a while. But I really don't see it impacting greatly. I mean, you see him on the Nike commercials very, very, you know, vaguely. Now you don't see a whole lot of Nike commercials as it is for golf anymore, since they're only in the apparel and footwear business. So, you know, I really don't think it's going to make as big of a deal as some people may think. Nike's already come out and said they're going to stand by him. I hadn't heard whether or not, you know, Bridgestone or TaylorMade would continue to support him. But TaylorMade stood behind, you know, Dustin Johnson for those years when he went through his issues. And, you know, now he's back to number one in the world and, you know, is probably their poster child for golf right now. He and, you know, Sergio and Rom, just because they're all TaylorMade Adidas. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's only a couple weeks old, and I don't think the news is going away anytime soon until he gets his golf game back. So he's, you know, until then, I don't think Tiger's going to be a big deal in terms of products, you know, in the marketplace. Right.
Well, yeah, and my point was not so much that, you know, whether, I mean, obviously I don't think Tiger's endorsement of Bridgestone or TaylorMade was going to impact the product. I just wondered if maybe they had clauses in the contract, you know, morality or whatever there might be to get out of their endorsement deals, you know, with him at some point. And again, I guess that's all to be determined. I will give him credit, yeah, though. He was rocking that Nike shirt in the Jupiter police station. So, you know,
unfortunately, it wasn't his best moment.
No, you know, you know, I mean, again, you know, it definitely will, if he can somehow, but, you know, when you watch him just struggle, and I know it's other things also, but, I mean, you could tell his back was hurting even as he tried to get out of that chair in the police station, you know. So it would be a great Hollywood movie if he, for somehow could come back and find his game again and play again. But as each chapter unfolds, I'm just more and more afraid that we may never see him, you know, play again. So I don't know.
I hope that's not the case. You know, there's still no one that can move the needle in the industry as well as he can in terms of sheer, you know, interest.
Right.
But, you know, these young kids behind him, you never know. I mean, Spieth and Fowler and Justin Thomas and all these kids who are so cameragenic and, you know, so extroverted, they're just great for the game. And, you know, we need more of that to keep people interested and engaged. You know, even though Tiger was as introverted as can be, people just flocked to him just for his likeness. And the game, you know, you look at purses on tour right now and they're through the roof. I mean, the U.S. Open purse is $12 million, for God's sakes.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, Martin Keimer came out and defended him this week just because of that very fact and said how much, you know, Tiger had done. All the tour players needed to really try to be supportive. I mean, you don't want to condone, you know, getting behind the wheel and when you're that incapacitated. But certainly as far as golf itself, I mean, all the tour players right now have him to thank for what has happened, yeah.
And not just that, it's the manufacturers, it's the retailers. I mean,
yeah,
it was a boom in golf a time when it really was not really hurting like it is kind of now, but when it really needed a shot, he gave it to him. And you know, it did one industry for, I mean, still to today, you know, even though we've lost since his departure in 2010, you've seen the number of core golfers internationally decline slowly over the years.
Right.
You know, so we're just looking for someone to come in and I guess be the resurgence that you know, he was back in the 90s. So,
well, now that we have the new facility at Oakbourne, maybe one of those UL golfers will be that in the future,
yeah,
right?
That would be great.
Andy, look, before we leave, just one more thing. Any y'all still running any in-house ball specials or anything like that?
We do have a few things going for the Father's Day promos that are in the works. Cobra right now is doing a free fairway or hybrid with any driver purchase in their new F7 line. So that's going to be one of our main promos running through Father's Day. There are a few ball deals. Bridgestone and their B330 line, or buy two, get one free. Srixon has buy three, get one free of any of their product right now, which are probably our best ball promos. TaylorMade had a price drop on last year's TP golf ball to $29. So, yeah, there's a few good things going right now during the summer just for Father's Day, some great gifts. New apparel keeps arriving pretty much every couple of days. And that's going to what you know that's going to have to tide us over until the new product, which, like I said, you'll start seeing Callaway Epic over the next couple of weeks, and then a few other slow launches for the rest of the season. So.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks so much for giving us your time on this rainy Monday. Hopefully the weather will start improving slowly. Although in retailing, sometimes those rainy times are the best time for sales, right?
Yep. This weekend was a great testament to that. So we appreciate the community for coming out.
Well, thanks so much, Andy. We look forward to talking to you again in the future. We'll hook up before Father's Day to get some gift ideas for old pops. Okay.
Thanks.
Sounds good, man.
Thanks,
I look
Andy.
Forward to it.
We appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Daddy.
Yeah, tell everybody hello.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, take care. That's Mr. Andy Malosa, the retail manager at golfballs.com, located on Arnold Boulevard in Lafayette, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays 9 to 4. Just go by and see him for all of your golf needs.
We were talking about Tiger. In Boxcar, I had mixed emotions. I really felt pitiful for him. And y'all were talking about him, and it just made me think, he's at the bottom, but, was it overkill what the media did? And I thought immediately to myself as I saw the video and stuff, it was. It's just a little too much. Why are they beating this poor guy up? But then I read this article, and it brought a kind of a new light to my head, and it said that the news organizations, any information pertaining to arrest of one of the most famous athletes in the world is newsworthy. So that was one thing they said. The second thing they said, the police didn't release the information just to publicly shame Woods. The information was available by way of open record request. So, just it would be for, like, your neighbor or your boss or anybody else who did something like that. Of course, he was the, most recognized athlete on the planet. So that had something to do with it. But this is what caught my eye. He said the videos also served as a public service announcement about the dangers of DUI. And then it was an added bonus for the cops because – like y'all alluded to, the PGA Touring pros are behind Tiger, but they're not behind the actions that he did, and that was totally wrong. For him to be behind the wheel driving like that, so I can see why the media used that as a vehicle to condone driving under the influence. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and again, I'm with you on that, Teddy, that there's certainly some good that can come out of this, obviously. I just thought at some point, I don't know, I mean, to hear the police officers kind of laughing and stuff, it seemed a little unprofessional to me, some of their conduct. I know he was,
he was
really
way out
incoherent.
Of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, the at that point, my thought was maybe this guy ought to be in a hospital instead, because he obviously if he blew a 0.00, he was having a bad reaction or something. Okay, so maybe medical professional help would have been more in the line of instead making him
And it still may be,
Well, yeah,
because about this, and I was just thinking of it, one of the drugs he was mixing with the other two. It's not available in the United States, so not approved by the FDA. So he must have gotten it, like contraband or something. And who knows if it wasn't sabotaged? Maybe this drug or material was laden with something. Because the way he was acting was really, So maybe somebody tried to sabotage poor Tiger. And I'm just speculating, thinking off, crazy thoughts. But and then the other thing is he was always saying how much he's improved, his back's better, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So why is he taking all these drugs?
These pain pills.
I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing.
It's just
a pitiful
story.
That's why and this was to me astounding to hear this statistic. But for the first time ever in car fatalities, there was more drugs involved than alcohol.
I read that too.
Yeah, so that's a startling reminder, not only of where that's at, but where we're at as a society.
Exactly.
And that's why you have so many people that are in these, they go to what these, they call them pill pushers. Basically you go in, you say, I got a backache because you get hooked on Percocet or Vicodin or whatever painkiller it might be, and it, that it's as addictive as crack cocaine, you know, and it's hard, you know. And I can't imagine. I mean, when I had my little back injury a couple of weeks ago, that was one of the things that, that the doctor prescribed was Percocet. I took exactly two of them, and I felt so out of it and loopy, I wasn't taking it again. I just took Advil, you know. And I can't imagine mixing, you know, three or four different painkillers together, what it could possibly do to you.
And
you
one know? Which is not approved, so you don't know anything about it.
See, I didn't even heard. I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, one know? Of them, I don't know the names like you do, you
yeah.
know, but.
But I mean,
yeah,
that's
one of them was like a black market drug that is not approved by the FDA anyways.
Yeah. Which doesn't surprise me because, you know, Tiger, when he had that kind of little controversy with the blood spinning, remember that?
Uh-huh.
When, you know, so he's known to be kind of out there when it comes to medical treatments and trying to experiment. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, deep down, Teddy, he has got to be crushed at this point. You know, I mean, he can say all he wants to be about, I want to just be a dad and just be normal. This guy never was driven by normality. You know,
no.
He was always, you know, so he's dying inside. And in his mind, anything he can do to get back on tour, you know.
He will try it.
He will try it.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
All right, let's clear our last break and then we'll wrap it up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
Kane Radio, AM 1240, the voice of the Tesh. Now you're tuned in to What's Happening.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Salam and Ralph Boxcar Bazaron with you here. 367-1240 is our number. And coming out of Dublin, Ohio, some sad news this week for the Memorial Tournament. Roberto DiVincenzo, the Argentinian known mostly for his scorecard error at the Masters and then for his British Open victory, died at the age of 94. DiVincenzo was announced by the Argentina Golf Association, confirmed his death. DiVincenzo broke his hip last month in Buenos Aires, and his health deteriorated from there. And this is what amazes me, Boxcar. This guy has amazed 230 titles worldwide, mostly in South Africa, but achieved fame for his biggest stage when he missigned that scorecard and Bob Golby won the Masters way back in 1967, I think it was. But he also beat Jack Nicklaus in the British Open at Harrow Lake for his only major. So DiVincenzo, you know, world-class Hall of Fame player. 230 victories. I don't care if you're winning the Sunday night scramble at Brendan. It's pretty amazing.
No,
pretty impressive.
It absolutely is. I mean, he won the 67 Open at Royal Liverpool when he beat Nicklaus and then lost that 68 Masters. And as you said, probably led to one of the most famous quotes in golf when he quoted after, "What a stupid I am." But yeah, I mean, he won national titles in Argentina, his native country, as well as Belgium, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, France, Germany, Holland, Jamaica, Mexico, Panama,
wow.
Peru, Spain, Uruguay, and Venezuela. So, I mean, he turned pro at age 15 and he played the PGA Tour until 1986, played the Champions Tour until 1994. So when you think about that length of a pro career, and the thing that really, kind of when I was reading some of these comments and stuff from other, it was just how much of a gentleman he was, mm-hmm. and how respected he was on all his fellow tour players.
Absolutely,
you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, a great champion passed away. But what a long, you know, fulfilling life he led. So you know. Anyway, well, some more news was made at the memorial. The different kind of news, I guess, here. In that Phil Mickelson announced that he will not be at Erin Hills to try to once again complete his career Grand Slam and win the first of U.S. Open title that has so painfully eluded him. He revealed to Karen Kruse of the New York Times that he will instead be attending his daughter Amanda's graduation from high school. Phil told Kruse, "As I look back on life, this is a moment I'll always cherish and be glad I was present. There's no greater joy as a parent." She also reported that Mickelson has already relayed his decision to withdraw from the U.S. Open to the USGA and his sponsors. So, you know, this is a guy who was going to leave, what was it, when he lost to Payne Stewart. What,
1999?
Yeah, he had the beeper on in case.
That's the same gal that was born.
Same gal, yeah. Yeah. She might cost him two majors. You know? No, yeah. You know, it, you got to, I mean, look, you know, having experienced what I did this past week for the first time and the joy of being a grandparent, and knowing, you know, how proud I was of both of my kids at their graduations, both high school and college, I admire Phil. You know, I think if I was in his position, it would be an awful hard call because, you know, his chances to complete this career Grand Slam obviously are coming to an end. I mean, he only has a realistic chance, and I think this is one chance. Maybe, and I didn't play Erin Hills. You might tell me I'm totally crazy, but he's been playing pretty well recently, you know?
Yes, he has.
And,
I mean,
he has that creative short game, you know? I mean, all indications are that's going to be needed out there, you know?
The jury's not out yet. Something still could happen that could change that, you know? But Amanda is the president of this private school called Pacific Ridge in San Diego, and she's no dummy because she's going to attend Brown in the fall, which is an Ivy League school. And you don't buy your way into that school. Trust me there.
I know. Well, the gals also played this past week in Young Kim, playing only her sixth event of 2017. She closed with a 2-under par 69 to hold off Anna Nordqvist, who was seeking her third consecutive title at the ShopRite LPGA Classic. And while Kim took home the trophy, Araya Jutanagarn claimed the number one ranking without even hitting a shot. She skipped the classic, the ShopRite event, but will ascend to the top after So Yun Ru missed the cut for the first time in 64 events. So,
well, the LPGA projections were incorrect. I don't know if you knew that, but there's Lydia Ko is still number one. By 1.0 points over Araya Jutanagarn. And it's one of those things that they made a little computer error. But the priority on the LPGA Tour is that Kim became the 13th different winner in 13 events this year, which
that is crazy.
Yeah, that's super crazy.
I mean, when you had, because we were used to you know, players just dominating
like
on
Lydia,
that tour.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Well, here's something that I thought was pretty amazing. Brad Dahlke made national headlines 7 years ago when he committed to Oklahoma at the age of 12 years old.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was a lot of criticism. How could, that someone do that at that age, et cetera, et cetera. Well, 7 years later, that 12-year-old commit closed out a national title for the Sooners. His 2-1 win over Oregon's Solomon Raza earned Oklahoma its third point of the NCAA championship final match against Oregon, giving the Sooners their first national title since 1989.
Yep, that's pretty cool. But there was some controversy there because the number one seed was earned by the 72-hole medal play event. You know, so they went to eight teams went into match play. Well, the coaches are a little upset because that 72-hole tournament determines your ranking, 1, 2, 3 through 8. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking that they're not taking the whole body of work the whole year into the process. So they're appealing to the NCAA committee to take and use that 72-hole qualifying simply as that another tournament, which would be put into the golf stat and not allow, like, a number one to play a number two in the opening round, you know, and one of them be eliminated. So there's always controversy, you know, and match play will bring that about because usually – not usually, but a good percentage of the time, you know, the best team may not win.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Still, that's how they determine it. So.
But, I still think it lends an element of, of suspense. And sometimes, you know, you can look at any sport. I mean, sometimes the best team doesn't win the NCAA football championship or the Super Bowl or whatever. You know, it's just
I want to close with this. When Dustin Johnson grew up playing junior golf in South Carolina with Kevin Kistner, who won the Colonial a couple of weeks ago. But there was a moment in the junior event Johnson apparently had a hard time getting over. He had a one-shot lead on the final hole, a par 5, and Kistner was in trouble in the trees. Johnson laid up and was in perfect position. Kistner, he says, and this is a quote, "I scouted out of the trees, hit a mound, goes over the hill, hits the flag doing 100 miles an hour, and goes in. He proceeds to three-putt, and DJ has never let me live it down." So Johnson told the story a few weeks ago at the Wells Fargo. He still remembers, and Kistner knows he still remembers. They were paired together in the final round of the St. Jude's Classic 5 years ago, which Johnson won, and he said, "I got you back." It's pretty cool, you know, because, I mean, like, junior golf, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah.
All what you've done since then.
Yeah, I would think the St. Jude Classic is a little more important than that junior event.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. All right. We certainly appreciate our listeners tuning in, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you at Spanish Trail this Thursday for the Pro-Am.
Stay tuned. We got Louisiana Network News up next.
KANE Radio, AM 1240, New Iberia.